Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm Evangelist Prophet Edward Eberle. I'm your host here of the program God's Hour of Truth. I'd like to welcome everybody here in the United States and around the world as you're listening to the broadcast tonight. And I know you all have come to hear what God has to say. And I was, this evening, before this program, I was just thinking about this program and what I really have in my heart and my mind is those that are looking for something special, whatever you're looking for tonight, I want you just to open your hearts up to receive whatever it is. It could be physical healing, financial need. You need maybe direction in some way or another. Maybe you need delivered, whatever it is. But I want you all to turn your expectors on. Always turn your expectors on when you hear the Word of God taught and preached. Because it's not only what the man or woman of God is preaching or teaching, but there's an anointing. The anointing is what destroys the yoke. It might be anything that I would say, but just the anointing of God would meet that need in your life, you see. It's not just what is being talked about, what it's being gone over, but it's what the anointing is, you see. And that's what we always make sure that the anointing's there, because if the anointing's not there, nothing can happen in our lives, no matter what we teach or how good we teach. But it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. So before we go any further, let's ask God to come into our service here by the power of His Holy Spirit and to move upon everybody's heart, as well as giving me the words to say and doing what He would want to do tonight. I just want God to have His perfect will, His perfect plan tonight. I do every week, but tonight I'm just, my heart's just thinking that way, what God just laid in my heart. So I want you all just to join in with me, and we're going to agree together now, and God's going to do something for you tonight. Heavenly Father, I just praise You, I thank You, I just worship You, Lord, I just lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for the privilege to speak over these airways tonight of Your Word, Your living Word to Your people, Father, to those that are out there, Father, and You know each and every one of them, Father. You know each and every need, You know everything that happened in their lives, what is going to happen, what they have need of, what they have gone through. And, Father, I would just ask tonight that You would move upon everyone whose heart is expecting You tonight. And, Lord, give me the words to say tonight, not my words or anything that I would think of, but I want to speak just Your words, and I ask Your anointing to be on this service like never before. And, Father, I just give You all the glory and praise for what You're going to do tonight and for everything that happens. We'll just glorify You and testify of You and give You all the praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That's what it's all about, folks. When you come to any type of service, whether it's a church service, or if it's on the radio, on television, or whatever it is, always turn your expectors on. Be ready to receive from God. You're not looking at the individual preaching or teaching, but you're looking and listening to God for what God wants to say to you, what He wants to do to you, what He wants to do through you. And that's what it's all about. So always have that attitude that you have your tuners tuned on, that you're able to hear and listen and receive what God wants to say to you personally. Because He deals with each person personally. He's your personal God. He's a personal God, you see. Okay, tonight my message is called, You're a Voice of Authority. You're a Voice of Authority. Now, there's one verse I'm going to read to you here, and we'll start from that point. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, for He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. They were speaking, this word here is speaking of Jesus. When Jesus spoke to the people, whether it be in the temple or whether it was on the mount or wherever He taught and preached, He didn't minister like a scribe or anybody like that. He ministered as one that had authority, that knew authority. He knew authority. Now, to show that you're a man or a woman of authority, knowing authority, to be authoritative, you could say the word authoritative, you need to have a strong foundation or knowledge and understanding of something, don't you? You have to really believe in what you are talking about, not just saying it like the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes said, but you need to really believe it. It needs to be in your heart, because people, no matter how good an actor you are, how silver your tongue is in speaking, people receive from where you put it out. Any person that's open and led by the Holy Spirit will know if you're a phony, know if this is of God or know if it's not of God. Because when you speak from your heart, it's received into your heart. You know it's for real. You can sense the reality of it. And that's what these people saw. They saw the reality of one with authority with Jesus, one with authority. Now, being confident in what you're saying, we should always be that way with everything we do, but particularly with God's word. We can be confident in what we are saying. For the simple reason we can be confident is the fact that it's God's word. It's not our word. It's not our word, but it's God's word, and God backs up his word. He cannot lie, so we can speak that way. In fact, God had experienced that he has told us that we are to speak with authority. You see, he expects that of us. That isn't something we just hopefully we can do, but we need to grow in that. Where when people hear you and I speak, we speak with authority, that we believe it, we know it, and it's a real thing. That they'll look at us, and they will see confidence in that. They'll say, hey, this man or this woman knows what they're talking about. I know this is for real. Let me listen to this. Because this world is looking for heroes. Really, this world's looking for heroes, and too many heroes are actually zeros. They aren't men, women of God. They're people that are excellent shysters or people that are taking advantage of people, but they're looking for the real thing, the real deal, and many times have been scammed. But God wants you and I to be real. He wants us to be real and speak with authority and show the world what he is, you see, because he is one with authority. Now, authority, the meaning of that, is the power to give orders or make decisions or the power and right to direct or control something. That's authority. They have that authority that you're put over something. You're in control of it. That's authority. Now, ability in the scriptures is dunamis, force, or speaking figuratively, specifically miraculous power, usually by implication, a miracle itself, ability, abundance, meaning might. Work of miracles, power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful work. The Holy Spirit is our enabler. Okay, when we look in the Bible, we see the word power many times in the book of Acts. Now, that word power means, some portions of it, it means we have the authority. We have the God-given right. God said, I want you to do this. I give you the authority. Other scriptures, when he says power, he means the ability to do it. So you see, those two must go together when you're doing something. You must have the authority to do something, the given authority, but then you need the ability to do it. Now, to kind of make that maybe a little clearer, it's just like I would say to somebody, I'd say, well, listen, would you go down to Walmart and buy me that $500 television down there, give them the model and everything I want? So I gave them the authority to do it, didn't I? But they wouldn't just take off and just go. Let's say, well, that sounds good. I'll do that for you, but I need the money for it. That would be the ability. You have the authority to do something, but you need the ability to actually do it, you see. And that's what God's word is. He said, I've given you the authority, but along with the authority, I've given you the ability, you see. So now you and I can speak with authority because we've been given authority to do it, and it's through his ability that it gets accomplished, not through our ability, you see. Now, let's read Acts 1:8. And this is a very familiar scripture in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the othermost part of the earth. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This was speaking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, coming upon us, in us, and through us, enables us, the enabler, that we have authority and ability to do what God's word says and the Spirit of God leads us. That's what that means, and that word power there means dunamis, and dunamis is like dynamite. So we've been given dynamite, miraculous power, according to the translation and understanding of it, to perform the things that God's word says. But it still hinges on you and I believing that and acting and speaking as one with that authority. You see, we must believe that. You must believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. Greater one's in me. We must hold to that he's in me. When I go to say something, I go to do something, I'm not doing it as I do it. I'm doing it through the word of God, and God's going to back me up with his power, not my power. I can be confident, see, when I do that. But if I'm thinking of my own ability when I say and do things, I'm going to speak like a scribe because I don't have any confidence, you see, of me being able to accomplish it in my own power. And that's what God tries to show us. He tried to show us that the Holy Spirit is within us, but you and I have to believe that and act accordingly that He is within us so that we can do the supernatural. We have authority to do that. We have authority to do whatever He wants us to do. We don't have to be fearful because He's with us, you see. When God is with you, you and I don't have to fear, do we? I don't have to fear if I know God's with me. If He's directing my pathway, I don't have to be fearful where it's going to lead to because I know He's taking care of it. And He said He orders our steps, doesn't He? He said the steps of a good man, or you could say a good woman, are ordered of the Lord. So we need to get that established within us before we can really go any further than anything because we must believe that. You must believe that. Too many people will take the scriptures and they will speak of different things, but they never apply it to themselves. They'll speak of others doing things and what Jesus did, the apostles, but you never take it to heart for yourself. And God wants you and I to take this to heart for ourselves. Now you'll say, well, I'm not a minister. I'm not a fivefold minister or anything, so I'm just a lay person. I work here, I work there. It does not matter because the Bible doesn't specify that pastors shall do this, evangelists should do this, prophets should do that, or any other of the fivefold ministry. It specifies whosoever will. It speaks of whoever applies that scripture to their life, it'll work for them. Whether they're in a ministry or whether they're a lay person, whether a man, whether a woman, whether they're a child, no matter who they are, whether they're educated, whether they're rich, poor, fat, short, whatever it is. In other words, God's word works for those that work God's word. Amen? It's not a thing of position in the realm of what your calling is. What it is those that will just take that word and apply it. He said in Mark 16, it speaks about laying hands on the sick and they shall recover, casting out devils. It didn't say anything about pastors. It didn't say anything about prophets or anything. It said, those will follow me, will do this. They shall have these signs, shall follow them, and then they will do this, they will do that. It just didn't say who specifically. It just said they. We are they, you see. We are they. It began with the apostles back in time of Pentecost, really. All these things and starting the book of Acts, and, of course, we are still part of they. They were the very beginning, but we're the end of the they right now because it's going to be soon that Jesus returns. So we are part of the they. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They shall cast out demons. All these type of things, you see. So this belongs to you and I. So recognize that no matter if you work in a machine shop, if you're a car salesman, if you work at McDonald's, whatever you do, no matter how little or how much education you have, if you dare to believe God's word and apply that word, it'll work for you. It'll work for you. You don't have to get the pastor. You don't have to get the prophet. You don't have to get the man of God, wherever he might be or she might be, the woman of God. You don't have to do that. You can do that on your own because it'll work for you also. That's how God reveals himself to us, you see. Okay? You and I are called to take dominion with all this authority. That means when you have authority, you're supposed to take dominion, right? You don't just have authority just for the sake of having authority, but you need that authority because you're going to take dominion of something. Okay? What do we take dominion over? Well, the best thing and the first things come first, you need to take the authority over yourself. You need to take it over yourself because if you don't have authority over yourself to control yourself, how in the world are you going to control anything else? It begins with you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, if we're striving for the mastery, we must be temperate or self-controlled in all areas. You need to have self-control, and that's what it is, self-control. Take authority over yourself. Yourself might say, hey, I don't want to pray. You say, self, that doesn't matter what you want to do, but you're going to pray. Self says, I don't want to praise the Lord. Self, I don't care what you want to do. I'm going to praise the Lord. You don't listen to what your flesh is dictating to you. Self says, I don't feel like going to church, or I don't feel like doing this or that. Self, I don't care what you feel like doing. I'm going to do what I'm to do. Just like Jesus did, you know, in Gethsemane. He didn't want to go to the cross. He said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But if not, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that's the attitude that you and I are supposed to take in everything that we do. Matter of fact, in Gethsemane, that blood that he shed there was the blood that he shed that came over his eyebrows, over his forehead when he bursted the veins in his head. That blood gave you and me the ability over our wills that we don't have to leave our will direct us in a negative way, but we have authority and control of our wills that we're going to do the things that God wants us to do. We don't have to give in to what our flesh wants to do. Our will can be say, hey, I will to do what God wants. I don't will to serve my flesh and do what my flesh wants to do. So you and I, through that blood that he shed at Gethsemane, with those drops of blood on his forehead right there that he shed, gave us and bought us the victory that we can be, and we are empowered to overcome our wills and do the thing that God tells us to do. We never have to give in to the flesh. There's no excuse for you and I ever to give in to our flesh. Now, I'm not saying you and I are going to be perfect in our walk. There never was a perfect man other than Jesus in his walk, naturally. But there's no reason for you and I not to do the will of God, is what I'm trying to say. The only thing would be if we just don't listen, but we have the ability. It's not that we can't do it. We just don't do it, you see. There's no reason, because we have no excuse for anything, really, that we do wrong. But thank God we have an advocate. He said in 1 John 1:9, he said, if we sin, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And these are things, folks, that we grow in. These aren't things that you achieve immediately. I've known the Lord since 1970. That's 49 years this past August the 3rd. And I'm still learning. I haven't reached perfection, neither will I ever reach it in this earth. In fact, the Apostle Paul said he didn't reach it. He said, I'm pressing towards the mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I have not attained that mark yet. And he was a mighty man of God, Apostle Paul. He did not attain it, he said. So we're pressing towards it. But you and I need to be improving day by day by day, is what I'm trying to say here. Okay, so take authority over yourself first. When you have authority over yourself, then you can see clearly for the next thing here, where it says in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. We have authority or dominion over this whole earth. God has given it to us. Everything in this world you and I are supposed to have authority on, But the problem is we have not taken that authority. We've allowed the devil and his people to take authority over a lot of things, folks. We stood back, didn't say anything. We're not authoritative in what we believe and what we said and what we bring into the world. But we stood back and left others do it. And because you and I haven't gotten into our rightful places, there's other ones that are going to get in there, which Satan's people. Because if we don't get in there, you can bet that Satan's going to get his people in there, which he has, and we see it. That's why we see so much corruption and all these horrible things before us around the world. We have not taken our authority. We've not used that authority. We've not obeyed the way we should. And really, I don't blame these evildoers right now, really. To tell you the truth, the church has failed. We have failed, and that reason we failed, you can see it the way it is, you see. Because if we had taken our authority, if we had done what we were supposed to have done, things would be different. We haven't stood up and been counted like we're supposed to. So this is what this lesson is about tonight, for you and I to take authority from this point forth in our lives. And we can't take authority for the world, but you can take authority for you. And if each one of us takes authority the way God has intended us to, and we grow that way, look what's going to happen. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000 to flight, and on by multiples of 10. If you do it mathematically, 4 puts 1,000,000 to flight, and you can keep going on like 10 million on up to numbers that wouldn't be any names for. Okay, we have authority over the whole world. That's really saying. Now, there's another one we have authority over right here, and that is in Luke 10:19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. We have authority over the devil, over the evil spirits. We have authority. They are subjected to us. We're not subjected to them. You know, there's an old saying that Flip Wilson used to say. He said, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. Anything the devil can do is, if you allow him, he can have you do something and you allow him to do it, you or allow him, you will do it. But it's only through your giving him permission, not standing against him, that we do the thing the devil wants us to do. He has no authority. He can't make us do a thing. It's only what we give into, what we let pass over, is what we just lay aside and just feel like doing what we want to do, you see. The devil has no authority. We have authority over him. And you have to remember that. When people are hit by the enemy in various areas, a lot of times instead of dealing with that thing directly, they'll say, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. But, you know, really, we are to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you. I command you out of this household. I command you off me. I command you off my wife, my children. In the name of Jesus, you have that authority. And you speak that, as you believe that, and you speak that, he has to listen, because that's not your word. That's God's word. That's speaking and using your authority. In the name of Jesus, cast him out. In the name of Jesus, breaking his power, you see. You have that authority, but if you don't use it, it's not going to work. That's why he's given us this power and authority, because he knows that we're going to be attacked by the enemy. But too often people kind of roll over and ballyhoo when they're attacked instead of rising up and speaking the word of power over the devil. You see the authority they've given. And you have other people join with you to do it. Join together. People need to join together and speak over these things, declare these things, because it's in the speaking that these things really manifest. It's our words. God created this world by words, and therefore you and I must use words in order to get the job done. In fact, in Mark 11:23, speaks about the mountain, speaking to the mountain and everything. If you ever read that, do you ever notice you hear the word faith one time, you see it there, and speaking is used there three times. In other words, you speak these things. You speak them, declare them going, you see. You believe and need faith, but then you have to declare it. You have to speak to the mountain to be gone. And this is the way God has set it up. You know, we can believe it and everything and sit there and just believe in our hearts and our minds, but we need to initiate it by declaring it, speaking it out loud. And that's what you and I have to learn to do. The Word of God created everything, but he spoke everything into existence, you see. So we have to learn to speak those things and take that dominion and authority. And it's usually by our, not just our actions, but by our speaking and actions together. Because as we speak, we move along. We don't just sit there, but we move along. We declare it, and then we don't just sit there and wait. But we declare and act like it's done and it's blocked, and then just keep going ahead. Take it for granted that it's done, because you're depending on God to take care of it for you. And we have to learn to do that. Not if we feel like it or it looks like things are better, but you have to believe they are better in spite of what you're feeling and what you're seeing. That's what really hurts most Christians, most people. And I know myself have been this way, and everybody, I believe, has experienced this, because that's human nature. But you and I have to be in that place that when we speak it, we believe it's done, and we trust that it's done, and we keep going forward and expect God to enter into this thing, whatever point it is. And he's already entered into it, folks. And if we hold fast to that, then the victory comes, you see. But the enemy does a lot of roaring, a lot of things, a lot of circumstances and situations sometimes before things actually manifest in their lives. But that's why you and I have to hold on and declare the word of God, you see. And that's why it's so important. So right there, you're a force of authority, your voice, your mouth using God's word, you see. He's given you the authority. He's given you the ability. But he said, that ability is followed up by me, but you have to do it the way I tell you to. You need to speak my word and believe that, and not speak negative words. You need to accept it. You need to keep going forward. You see, there's conditions of these things, folks. Okay? There's a couple of things I want to speak about here when it comes to authority. Now, some people abuse that. In fact, we don't have authority over another person's will. If you try to dominate somebody by your authority, that is called witchcraft. When you try to dominate somebody, that's witchcraft. That's what that is. Or you could say Jezebel spirit when you try to dominate somebody. So you don't have it over the will. In fact, God does not have authority over your will or my will. He has purposely said no to himself. He said, I'm going to make you a free will agent. Therefore, you're going to make the decisions. And that's it. We make the decisions whether we're going to obey God, disobey God, whether we're going to do this, whether we're going to do that, but it's up to us, you see. He's given us everything out there to do, but But how you and I work with that, how we apply that to our lives is up to us. But I'll say this about it. You know, we have a free will and you can do what you want, but there's a judgment day. There's a day that we give account of what we did. So, folks, we better be doing the right thing because I don't want to be giving account of bad things, you say. So we need to recognize that, that we're going to answer to what we've done, what we said. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it speaks of we're going to be rewarded for what we did good and for what we did bad in our body. 2 Corinthians 5:10, what we did good, what we did bad in our body, and that's given account. So that's why we need to make sure we're doing the right thing. Another thing about authority that we have to remember is people with authority, say like a pastor of a church, you can have people working at the church, you have authority over them, but a man that's in authority considers the welfare of those under him. They aren't just barking orders at him and saying, oh, boy, I have authority. I'm just going to tell you to do this. I'm going to tell you to do that, this type of an attitude, because that isn't a person that should be given authority, you see. That isn't a person that should have authority, because you must consider others' welfares when you use that authority that you're not going to hurt them. That's just like and I've seen it happen. I've seen pastors use people in a church that actually almost destroyed their family because they kept them away from home. So you need to consider those under you in your authority and do the right thing there also. A person's responsible leader. That's speaking of leadership. And a man to be an authority must have leadership capacity and leadership qualities, you see. Now, another thing, when we talk about all this authority and the power and everything, a lot of times we will talk about Jesus. You might mention certain men in the scripture, maybe some generals of the day, of days past, you know, of what God did through them and everything, and that was all great and wonderful. But how many times when we say what Jesus did as well as others, have we, without considering ourselves, you know, just never even considered we had that same authority? In other words, we spoke of what these men, what these women did of the days past, but we have not considered, hey, I have that same authority. No matter what my calling is, I have that same authority to do these things. These men and women did that. That was great. The men of the Bible did these things. That was wonderful. But yet, I have this authority. I must take this authority and use this the way God wants me to use it. I must use this authority the way God wants me to use it and lead me in this thing, you see. I have that same ability. It's not just so-and-so is a great man or a great woman of God. But you can be a great woman of God or a great man of God, whatever you are, a man or a woman. You can be great in the Lord if you just simply believe his word, act upon it, and just leave him direct you step by step. Because the steps of a righteous man are worthy of the Lord. He'll direct your steps, and the steps he leads you to is always victorious. So if you use that authority and that ability and consider he is within you, you're going to go forward, you say. You'll see people, you'll respect and everything what they do, and you'll honor it, but you won't be blown away by people or who they were or what they did or how they did it, because you'll know that, hey, I've got that authority. I'm going forth in that. You're not going to be looking at others so much. You're going to be considering, God, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do through my life? Because I know I have this ability, and I want you to use me to be a mighty man of God, you see. You're going to consider that. Don't always look to others and brag or speak on these other people, but look on what you're to do. You see, look what you're to do. We honor one another and everything like that, who they are. We are to honor one another, but never idolize people. Don't make celebrities out of it. It's been 2 months of that nonsense going on today, but ministries that are maybe more prominent out there or known by others are like a household name, and it's almost been like a movie star or something, and you never do that, folks, because these are just men and women of God. And the thing about it is, if they're men and women of God, you have that same thing. So therefore, it's not limited to them. It's not limited to anybody. It's limited to you and what you dare to do in the Lord. What we dare to do, how much we dare to be used, how much we obey the Lord, the sky's the limit. But it's up to us. The lot falls on us, you say. Okay. How do we come to the place that we can reflect as one with authority to others? Remember the Jesus and the centurion? Remember when the centurion came there and he asked Jesus to heal his sick servant? And he said, come to his house. He said, no. He said, I'm not worthy of that. He said, I know you're a man of authority and with authority just like I am. I speak to my men and they'll go. I speak to them to come, they'll come. Whatever I say, they'll do. So I know all you have to do, Jesus, is just speak the word and it's done, which he did. He spoke the word right there, and the centurion accepted it as a done deal. And then when he went home, he found that the very hour Jesus spoke that, it happened. The man was healed. His worker was healed. You see, his servant was healed. So, but how do you come to that place? How do you come to that place? Well, as I said a little earlier, first of all, you must have a foundation of knowledge and understanding. That means that a very simple thing, that we must first make sure our stand is scriptural. In other words, meditate in the word. Meditate in God's word. Study and meditate. In fact, Joshua 1:8 says we're to meditate day and night, and that way we'll make our walk successful. We'll have a successful walk if we meditate day and night. So we have to make sure what we're saying is scriptural. What we're doing is scriptural. Is it scripture? And if it is, then of course we use it. If it isn't, then we don't use it. But you want to make sure it's scriptural and make sure you have the witness of the Holy Spirit about it. And then when you do that, when you make sure of that, apply it to your life. Start applying the scriptures to your life and then watch God fulfill the scriptures. That's what builds your confidence up, because that's what working your own salvation with fear and trembling means. Are you to work out what the scriptures say and make sure they work for you? They need to work for you. They aren't just something to say, well, I believe this, I believe that. Oh, have you ever seen it happen? No, I haven't seen it happen, but I believe it. Well, yes, I believe the Bible. I believe what the Bible says, period. But I need to work in the scriptures and apply them to my life and see God in those scriptures making happen what he said will happen. So you start out just taking scriptures, using your faith for various things, whether it's financial, physical need, or the witness of somebody, winning souls, and every area that the scripture is there, and then just apply it, and then see God working that scripture as you pray and believe it, you see, and you speak it. Because that's when you really become acquainted with God, is when you see him working those scriptures out as you apply your faith, and then you see him working in your life. That builds up your confidence. That builds up your boldness. And that's what gets you to the place that you can get to the place that you'll be able to speak with authority, because, hey, I know what the word of God says. I believe it. I've seen it happen. It's true. It's God's word. He'll back it up. So you speak with authority, one that knows they know that they know. And people will read that in you. They will read that in you, that they know that you're speaking very positively and that you speak like a man that has been there. You speak like a person that has been there, you see, when you have that personal experience. Because if you don't have personal experience with something, it's pretty hard to convince others, you know. Experience, you know, a lot of times people, an old saying was experience is the best teacher. And it's not really the best teacher, but how we learn from our experience is the best. If we learn from our experience, good and bad, that's our teacher also. And it's through experience that we grow in the things of God. We become bolder and more proficient. We need to apply them. It's like anything else. The more you, if you're a bowler, the more you bowl, the more proficient you should become. Or if you play golf, the same way. The more you do it, you see. So you need to be working on it, working at it, you see. Read the study, then meditate on it. Then God will give you revelations of things. He'll speak things and give you things maybe you never heard of before, never heard preached or taught. He'll speak to those things, and it'll be for you personally and possibly to share with others. I know the Lord gives me revelations constantly on things. Things come to me. He gives me things, bang, 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 bang. I can be watching television. I get things regularly from God. But I've been at this thing a little while. And serving the Lord, but I put my heart into it, and I have a need to know it because I'm teaching, preaching, and all over the place doing things, and I'm active with these things here, so I need to know these things. I need to be able to share these things, but it just comes through your experience and just starting out that way, just working that word and growing in that, and you grow. You grow doing that. Okay, that's how it begins, but making sure it's scriptural, making sure it's scriptural. Next thing, you need to develop an intimate relationship with the Lord. Well, getting in the Word, it does develop an intimate relationship, but the best way is to spend some time with him, to talk to him, to pray, not just in words and reading and studying the scriptures, but as you read about him, you pray and you talk to him and you worship him and you thank him and you let him talk to you. Just lay there, maybe where you're at, might be in bed, you might be in a sofa, wherever you're at. Just allow him to minister to you. Leave him say what he wants to say to you, because it's a two-way street there with God. Many times people think, hey, we're to pray. We're to pray, and that's true. We're to pray. But we're to listen, too. Pray and listen. Listen and pray. So I guess I never said this before like this, but I guess that'd be a good thing is pray and listen. So just say, I'll pray about it. Say, I'll pray and listen about it. Because that's what we need to do, because I could be praying about something, but if I don't leave God speak, I'm not going to hear anything, right? That's just like two people talking. One guy does all the talking. He's not going to hear anything from the other guy because he doesn't leave him speak or doesn't pick up on it, right? And that's the way we have to look at it. We have to look at it. We need to speak and let him speak to us. And we learned his mannerisms as he speaks to us. As we have him within us, we learn more about him. He just reveals himself. It's a growing process, like I say. But it's through prayer and spending time with him and praising him and telling him that you love him, worship him, and just praise him. And in fact, I pray in tongues, too, a lot. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And just get your heart and your mind, just focus on him. Get your mind off the things of this world, because we get it many times, and it's a hard thing for a lot of people to do, but we have to get away from this world stuff, get in our prayer closet, and when we get in there, just you and God. I use a prayer shawl, different times over when I put myself in there, and that's what it is. That's getting in my closet, and then close myself in. And that really gives you the feeling of being there alone, just with you and the Lord. And that's what you need, because when you do that and you praise and worship him, you're setting the stage or an atmosphere for God to speak to you and to learn more and to hear from him and an intimacy and a presence. And you know that presence, when you enter into that presence with that intimate relationship, as we enter into that, if we do that in the morning, which we should before we start our day, you go out there in a whole different atmosphere. In other words, things can come against you out there and you won't fly off the handle, because you spent time with Jesus and it's just like you're laid back and just quiet and just at peace about it, that somebody can go to ruffle your feathers and they won't ruffle. But if you don't do that in the morning and you go out there and somebody goes to ruffle your feathers, so they're going to do it because you don't have that covering. So there's a covering, a sensing in the presence of God that gives us peace and strength and everything, and it's in his presence. So we need to really develop an intimate in his presence experience. That's something that many times is overlooked, and we've all overlooked that from time to time. But to enter into that presence, when you enter into that presence, that's where the strength comes from. That's where these things happen. It's like being in a secret place. In the 91st Psalm, the first verse, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And under that shadow, in that secret place, is where the power, the strength is. That's where I am that I am that I am is. That's where God is, I am. And we're in there, everything is there. It's all there. He's there, you see. And we get a radiation, or you could say like Moses experienced. You remember when he was on the mount? Remember he glowed when it came down? He had to get, he had to cover himself. Well, he had to cover himself up when God passed by, because God showed his hinder parts, but he couldn't show any more because he couldn't have stood it. And then when Moses came down after covering himself, remember how he glowed? Well, there's something about being that present. It makes you glow. It makes you glow. People can see it in your face. I know I had that happen to me different times, many times. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I received that experience that I just glowed, was in the presence of the Lord, because I had a special experience that I've written in my book. In fact, I've mentioned it different times. It was really almost like a Damascus Road experience that Paul had. It was a great experience that he did that mighty work in me. But you glow from that, because when you have a communion with God, people can see it in the flesh also, in your body they can see it, because when God touches you, you know you've been touched. So you and I need to develop an intimate relationship, and that's so important this time, because that's where we have our peace and our comfort and our strength and our security, our boldness, and that's where you can have be in the place of speaking of one with authority, because you're going to know who you are connected to, you see. Okay, the next thing We need to have faith in Jesus Christ and his name. Let me read a scripture here in Acts 3:16. And his name, and through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Well, remember the man at the gate, the crippled man at the gate with Peter and the apostles? Well, they tried to give them the credit for healing this man. He was healed, remember? And they tried to give them the credit. They said, whoa, 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 it was not us. They said it was his name, in the name of Jesus, and through faith in the name of Jesus that made this man whole. It was all Jesus and our faith in his name that made the man whole. So you see, we need to have faith in the name of Jesus. We need to have faith in Jesus in order to get to the place that God wants us to be, because we don't have faith in ourselves. We have faith and confidence in the name of Jesus. You see, if I have faith in myself or my faith, I'm not going to go very far, because, and that's what a lot of people will do. They have faith in themselves. Do you ever hear a person say, well, hey, I would like to lay hands on the sick there. I'd like to cast out devils, but I don't have faith for that. Well, they're looking at their faith. I don't have faith in my faith. But they're not to have faith in their faith. They're to have faith in the name of Jesus and in Jesus, and his name it's done. That's where you put your faith, and you're trusting him to get the job done. When you look at yourself, you're going to always come up short and say, hey, I can't do that. I can't have faith. I don't have faith in my name. I'm not going to be able to do that. And that's true. They did right in saying that when people say that. But you have to apply your faith in his name, just like the apostles did there. That man would have not been healed if they wouldn't have done that. If they looked their own faith, it wouldn't have happened. But they had faith in the name of Jesus. They had faith in Jesus and in his name. And when they applied that, bang, he walked, you see. So you and I have to learn to do that, have faith in Jesus and his name. And the more faith and confidence you have in Jesus, as you and I build our faith up that way, the bolder we become, you see. The more bold we become, the more effective we become, the more results that we see. So it's work in our lives that we work at constantly and build up. You know, we're building up our faith muscles like you're building up your arm muscles by lifting weights. They get bigger and bigger, the muscles, and that's the way with our faith. When we apply our faith, it gets bigger and bigger as we apply it. Don't be afraid to use your faith on things. A lot of people are afraid to use it because they say, well, I look bad. I'll pray for that sick person. They don't get healed. Or I'll do this, then this one will happen. Well, the thing about it is, you're not the healer and you're not called to heal. You're called to pray the prayer of faith. In fact, he said we're to heal the sick. He did say that. But we are to pray the prayer of faith, and we leave what happens up to him, you see, the results up to him. Because he gets all the glory for it. He does it anyhow. You can't do it. So you do what you're supposed to do and leave the results come up to him, okay? And that, therefore, you won't be afraid of something happening or nothing happening. Just simply believe and expect it to happen. But don't be afraid to apply your faith that you're going to look bad. Apply that faith and use that faith. And when you dare to do that, God will do mighty things for you, say. But you just have to realize that you apply that faith. You use your faith in a way like that. When you do that, then you're not taking responsibility of it because he's the healer. Don't lay these things on yourself. Don't ever take these things personal on yourself. Do what the Bible says, and don't think about what others think. Don't consider people around you. Just hear the voice of God and do them. Don't consider what will this man think, what will this person think, what will my wife think, what will my husband think, what will my school teacher think, or my employer or whatever. You don't think about those things. You just do. You just do what God said, because he'll take care of these other things if you're obeying him. He's not going to leave you fall. Okay? So we have faith in Jesus' name. Faith in him, centered, focused on him, not anybody else, not yourself, not what anybody thinks or says, but faith in Jesus and his name and what his word says and how his Holy Spirit leads you. Okay, the last thing here, and this is thing a lot of people don't consider this, because most people consider being a Christian and using faith as going to church on Sundays and maybe on Wednesdays, like midweek service. They consider it a religious thing, a Christian thing to do. There's a time for this. We have 2 hours this day. We go to a meeting here, and that's when we do this. And the rest of the time, we're making money. We're doing our job. We're having fun. We're doing this. We're doing that. Well, we are to make our faith, use our faith in God's word, and make it our lifestyle. From the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at nighttime, whether you're doing a sport, whether you're visiting friends, whether you're driving your car, shaving, whether you're at work or what you're doing, make faith your lifestyle, the word of God. In other words, use that word, being conscious 24/7 of the word of God everywhere you're at. Matter of fact, I'll carry it a little bit further. Where you have an opportunity to be a witness, it could be a place that somebody you'll go in a store, and I've had this happen many times with people. You'll hear, I've had the clerk say already they were sick before. I'd be walking through, they'd be asking me, you know, be taking the stuff that I bought, and they'd talk being sick for no reason. I'll just say it. And I've ministered to people there like that, seen people receive of the Lord healed and things like that. Just things will happen like that wherever you're at. There'll be little doors open for you, like that's just an obvious door. Or maybe somebody will be depressed or down, and you're to give them a smile or say a kind word to them. Maybe just Jesus loves you or something. There's something you can do. You don't have to preach a sermon to them. Do what God wants you to do. Smile, say a word to them, pray a prayer of faith over them, whatever it might be, or witness to them or lead them to Christ. However the Lord leads you. But the thing is, we need to be open to that. And I think too many times we get caught up in what we're doing, and we don't see what's out there before us. And the people the signs are right there through these people. They're saying things, but we're just not picking up on it. We're not acting upon it. They're saying things that we should be responding what the Bible says, but we thinking about something else or want to get going, and we don't take time to do that. But we need to start using what we see and bring out God's word to help those around us, because that's an opportunity many times given by God. That person didn't say that they were sick just for the fun of it. I really believe God uses people to do those various things. He does. He causes people to say things to you, do certain things for you and I to do what he wants us to do with those people, you see. So we have to ask God to show us and make us sensitive how we can be a witness and how we can be the salt of the earth as we're supposed to be by ministering to others. You see, it's not all in a big meeting like you could say, well, church service or me on the radio here doing services, other places, or TV or whatever. A lot of people are geared for that. We'll listen to this, and we're going to do this here, and we're going to do that there. But they're not really conscious of being out when you walk out and go to the store or around people around them. You don't really think about that. It's all geared for other things. In other words, they're the only places you do anything. But God expects you and I to start out in our Jerusalem. And I believe our Jerusalem is when we leave our house in the day. In our house and we leave our house, our Jerusalem is right there where we're to minister. Then we go on further. But let's don't go the uttermost part of the earth before we begin in our Jerusalem like we have done. Many times I've heard of churches that reach maybe around the world, and the neighbors never even had one visit from that church, the invited church. They never invite anybody in the block or anywhere around there, but yet they might be going around the world or other states or whatever. See, a lot of times we don't do that. So that's something you and I need to be more conscious of. And I know myself, I take that to myself too, because I'm preaching to myself here tonight. I'm teaching to myself, because we all need to hear these things, folks. There isn't anybody among us that doesn't need to hear what I'm saying tonight. Nobody ever gets that big. Nobody in the Bible was that big. The only one that never would have to listen to it, of course, was Jesus. But every human being that was ever around needs to hear these words, because it applies to each and every one of us, because it's very easy to let things slip. So as we come to the closing time here, I would like to say, you know, we've been given that authority. We talk about being given, or we're a voice of authority, but we need to use that voice of authority. The way we're talking, the things we talked about tonight, we need to use that. Know you've got it. Be confident of it. Know that you've got it, and know that authority isn't you. That's who's in you is the authority. All you are is a mouthpiece. You're the hands. You're the feet. You're the eyes. You're the mouth of that great authority. Then there's the Holy Spirit that shows you how and gives you the words to say and when to say it and sets the stage and everything else for it. So you see, you're a puppet. I'm a puppet. All we have to do is be willing and allow the Lord to use it, you see. And isn't that true really about a puppet? You know, a puppeteer will take a puppet and they'll make the mouth move, the hands move and everything. That puppet is judged or moved by the puppeteer. And that's the way God wants to use you and I. He wants us to not resist but to do those things and do it from the smallest area right around you to the uttermost part of the earth. And being a witness and knowing you have that authority, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, I am convinced that people today need to believe that. They don't really believe the greater one's in them, because if you really believe the greater one is in you, you're not going to be afraid and fearful and back down and say, well, I can't do this. Because if you believe God, then is there anything that God cannot do? Of course not, there isn't. And if you truly believe that, you're going to say, no, Lord, I can't do this, but I'm trusting you to do it through me. And that's the way we have to approach things, especially in the hour we're living, because, folks, we're living in a time that God is taking the lid off of everything, and he's going to do things that all of us, we never even happened before. I'll give you a little example. You know, I used to always say at the pulpit times that I haven't seen nothing yet, and I've seen a lot of things, folks, miracles and all types of things. I have all kinds of testimonies towards the miraculous and knowing the power of God. I've been there. I've seen these things happen. But I want to tell you something. I said I haven't seen nothing yet. I spoke at it. Here, I guess it was a few years ago, a prophet came up to me, and he never even spoke to me. He said, the Lord told me to tell you that you haven't seen nothing yet. And that was it. That was it. He told me, he said, you haven't seen nothing yet. And that's true. And he's saying that to every one of us. He's saying that to every one of us, what he has in store for us. And if you and I would just dare to believe that and allow him to use us, you see, he'll take us to heights that we never even heard of, because the sky's the limit. There's no limit with God. In fact, I'll share a scripture, one more scripture in closing, that God gave to me through a man who was in I used to work with a major ministry, and this man was the key man, the head elder of this ministry. And I was ministering there that night, and to make a long story short, he came up to me like a little boy, so excited, and he gave me the scripture I'm going to read to you that I've shared with many people. And it was for me that night, but I know it's not only for me, it's for God's remnant today. If you are in God's remnant, his last day army for this day that he's raising up, this is for you. Behold, you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Wow, isn't that powerful? Let me read it again. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold, you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Man, that is powerful. That is powerful. Only God knows how powerful that's going to be. And we can think how great is that going to be, but I don't think any one of us know right now, because when God takes that lid off, you have to recognize that he wants to bring as many souls in as he can. And he's going to do it in all kinds of ways that he can do it. And I'll tell you, a commonplace around here is going to be what was supernatural back in the day of Azusa Street they talked about so a lot. That's going to be a familiar, commonplace thing. That won't be a major thing. That'll be commonplace at Zuzu Street for what God wants to do in this world, because he's going to shake this world like never before, and they're going to know he's not a big Santa Claus in the sky. It's quiet all the time. He's going to show himself, and people are going to see God for who he is, and they're going to really want to get on board, or they're going to hate him and fight him, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to see the worst onslaught of the devil we ever saw, and we're seeing a lot of that now. But God raises up a standard against him, according to Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. And that's what's happening in this last day remnant army. He's raising up a standard against all hell that is broke loose in this world, and we're going to see some great things happen. So all we have to do first is go forth what God has us do, and be on guard. In other words, you don't go to sleep with this thing here. You have to recognize there's an enemy out there that's coming against you. So be alert to things. Be alert to what the enemy does. Be wise to what the enemy does. You're going to have a gun in one hand, so to speak, and the Bible in the other hand, which I wouldn't actually be a gun, but with the devil. You're fighting the forces of hell that come against you, like we're using our authority right there over Satan while we're speaking the word and doing the good things of God, you say. So we have to stay alert, but just keep in the presence of God in that secret place. Recognize you're a man, you're a woman with authority, and the greater one's in you, and you will not be defeated. And have that kind of an attitude. You have to have that kind of a talking attitude that people say, well, isn't he or she an arrogant person? No, no, you're just saying what you're supposed to say. That's our reasonable service, folks. That's reasonable service. That's not Medal of Honor or great man or woman of God conversation. That's the way we should all speak. Amen? Well, praise God. I hope you all got something out of this service here tonight. And I'm going to say a prayer in closing here. And I would like to remind you that you can go to the station here, and you can go to the on-demand section here. And you can see these, listen to them over and over again. Now, this will be on here probably about, maybe about another 35, 40 minutes. It'll be on the on-demand section on the network here. So you need to listen to it several times. In fact, not just my messages here, but there's other messages of others here to listen to, because these are called on-demand, and there's pretty close to 400 of them there. And if you listen to them, I know they'll bless you. So listen to them. Leave them sink into your spirit, man, and then watch what God will do. But let's have a word of prayer here before we sign off, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that the greater one is within us. The greater one's within us. And I pray, Father, that those out there, Lord, first of all, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, that they will receive you as Lord and Savior. Ask you into their hearts to forgive them and come into their hearts and take over their lives. And I pray, Father, for those who have not been filled with your Spirit, we receive the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit and be empowered to do the works that they've been called to do. And Lord, if there are any sick among us out here right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command sickness to leave in the name of Jesus. Right now, all sickness and disease, because by Jesus' stripes you are healed. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are made whole. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You are made whole. You are made whole. And Lord, you said you are made wisdom unto us, understanding. So Lord, I pray for wisdom. You said if we lack wisdom, to ask, and I just pray your wisdom be upon those that are needing wisdom. Whatever their needs might be, Father, right now I declare every need met as they're seeking your face, that you will show yourself to them in a mighty way. And Father, I just thank you now. I give you all the praise and the glory. But above all, that they recognize that you are within them, and they walk and they act like you are within them, and they demonstrate boldness, Lord. They demonstrate authority, Lord, that they'll recognize that, hey, that man, that woman has been with the Lord like they did the apostles. The apostles that were unlearned, the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, truly, these men have been with Jesus. They were unlearned, and what we've seen from these men, they must have been with Jesus. Lord, may they say that with about each and every one of us here, that they can see that we truly have been with Jesus, Father. Now, Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this evening. And I just pray your blessing upon each and every listener, those that are listening to it now and those that will be listening to it on the on-demand section. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you. And they all said amen and amen and amen. Okay, I thank you all for tuning in tonight. Lord willing, we will be back next week. But remember, go with God, follow him, let him lead you. Forget about everything else. And remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I love you all, and you have a blessed week. Thank you now.